Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kate Woodward in this morning with Lois Hands Hope House. We're going to talk about ways we can help during the holiday. There are some really practical ways, and we're going to talk about that and just the busy year it's been at Lois Hands Hope House. Kate, good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy holidays. It's great to see you. I've seen you a lot.
I have seen you a lot. This is a time between I saw you a bunch for Trees of Hope. How did that go? They are just the pictures this year of Trees of Hope. I thought the way it was all set up at the country club.
It was beautiful, right?
Yes.
I know. We found our home at the country club. It was absolutely stunning. I have to say thank you to you, Ted, for being one of our esteemed tree judges. Every year, annually, we look forward to it.
It is tough.
It is tough. I'm just surprised every year at what folks come up with, what inspires them. And so we had a beautiful time. It was our most successful Trees of Hope event that we've had to date. So we made a huge impact in helping end family homelessness in the community. So it was real fun.
I think one of the great things about Trees of Hope, and the day I was over there judging, you were there, and you would think that's Kate Woodward. She's executive director of Hope House. She does all these important things. You and another person were like watching YouTube videos on how to use the projector. And
man.
Like, it was just... We all do it, but you guys were spent. It was one of those situations that we all get into of where you spend hours trying to figure out something. But it is a great idea.
It took us like an hour. It took us like an hour. So the club usually has a projector that's set up like in the air, you know, whatever, and it had been taken down. So me and Jamie at the country club, shout out to her because she is like a lifeline for us. She helped plan this whole event. We got the projector, and then it was upside down.
Right. That was so great. And one of you read, because I'm doing this while I'm judging, and it was just great, because somebody said, wait a minute. It says here that if it's moved sometimes, this gets changed, and this is what you have to do.
Yes. So it was like, okay, usually that means it was in the air upside down previously, so you have to change the setting. Well, that's really hard when all the settings are on the screen upside down. So we're like tilting our heads.
Yes, you were. I wanted to take a picture
so much. I think it's here.
No,
it's that one. Then we finally got it up the right way. Then we couldn't get the like aspect ratio. Then it was tilted. It was like a whole fiasco. But how many girls does it take to put a projector up? And it's two. And we did it. And YouTube came to our rescue. So we were really excited about that. And it turned out beautiful. But... it's those little things that you don't see that go into the event, right? And Trees of Hope it's a beast. We start planning typically in January.
You'd have
with
to.
Our Trees of Hope committee. And I don't think people realize we take over the country club for a full week. We move in on Sunday and then we're kind of just there until Friday. And so a lot of effort and work goes into making it a special event, including making sure the projector works, the little things,
all
right?
All those little things. And the other part was there was the person there who was putting all the silverware on all these tables.
Yes.
And it all had to be done just right. And it was just...
I know.
We all go to events and you walk into an event and it's all set up and you don't think that there are people that have to make sure that every little thing is done.
It takes a village. We have so many people that help work to make like all those little details. We had Heather Cohen who did all of our centerpieces and she was there with her mother, you know, lighting up the, you know, bulbs that were in these vases. It was beautiful. She was adding little touches to the table. We had ornaments for every person. We had to do place settings. We did a Christmas sing-along. We printed those out and had it for everyone. So all of those little details really make a big difference. We want to make sure, you know, that folks really enjoy themselves. They learn about our mission and our cause, you know, when they come out to celebrate these fun events with us. But we look forward to it every year. It is our largest fundraiser to end family homelessness in the community. And so this year was our most successful one to date. So we're really excited about that.
That's exciting just because of the tough conditions and what we're dealing with now. It shows that the people are engaged and want to do something.
people really do want to make a difference and they want to help. And I know that I think for everyone, times have been tough this year. And so it really means a lot. We honestly weren't sure how it was going to be this year, how turnout was going to be, how participation was going to be, just because it has been so difficult and it's challenging times in our economy right now. And I just have to say we were blown away at how many people came to support at the events, how many people made donations to support, you know, our effort of working with families and providing, you know, safe housing and stability for them. So it takes a village. It, you know, our community has stepped up for us in so many ways. The holidays, it's really special to see all of that come to life, and we're just so grateful for it. So it's a good time of year for us.
Well, this is we've been doing, this is our annual show that we've done for the last couple of years of of talking about, there really are such practical ways that we all can help with what you do with families, and that's what we're going to get into this morning. For people who don't know, Lois Ann's Hope House on Lafayette Boulevard, your number of houses there, and we'll get into all that. Facebook is a great way to follow what you're doing, but and also you have a website too that has everything.
Yes, so follow us on Facebook and Instagram. It's Lois Ann's Hope House. Or even if you Google Hope House, you will find all of our social media and our website, which was just redesigned entirely with our new logo. So we're really excited to get people to go to the website and check it out. That has been a labor of love, and we're really, you know, happy to have some branding that, you know, exemplifies our mission of working with children and families and advocating for that. So we're excited for that. But there are tons of ways to get involved. Right now, we just launched at Trees of Hope our prevention campaign. So we're located off of Lafayette Boulevard. We have 6 homes for shelter services, but a lot of people don't know we are the lead agency for prevention. So working with families who might be in temporary housing, so staying with a relative and maybe can only stay there for a week or two because they're not on the lease, or staying in hotels, they can't save up for security deposit, or people who are in the formal eviction process. So we lead all of those services in the region. And we launched this campaign because this is the overwhelming demand for services. And from July to through October, really, we've expended 80% of our funding for our fiscal year. And so we have launched this campaign because we are in desperate need of support to continue prevention services. We have so many families that are reaching out that are trying to maintain their housing, that are being proactive. And we find that this program specifically, I mean, I'm really passionate about it. When I started at Hope House, I was a prevention caseworker. And so I've seen the difference that this intervention can make to change the trajectory of a family's life when we stop homelessness before it even begins. And so we're very passionate about expanding those services to limit the risk and exposure to homelessness for families in crisis. And so this campaign really means a lot to us. It's really going to go a long way.
We're going to jump into and talk a little bit, a lot more about it when we come back. We're going to take a quick break with Kate Woodward with Lois Ann's Hope House this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Kate Woodward in this morning with Lois Ann's Hope House as we talk about just ways to help Hope House this time of year especially. This prevention campaign, Kate, is just really fascinating to me because it really seems, when you talk about, you know, allocation of resources and the best way to use your resources, this certainly is. If you can keep a person away from the shelter and then having to kind of relaunch them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you, Ted. Our emergency services are overburdened as a community. And that is like shelter spaces are not increasing. There is an overwhelming demand for crisis services. And so what I love about Hope House is we're doing everything that we can to intervene earlier on so that a family doesn't get caught in that cycle. So our mission is to break the cycle of homelessness. And for us to really effectively do that, we have to prevent people from experiencing it altogether. And so we get lots of families that reach out to us that are in these temporary housing situations that are just one payment behind on their rent. And rather than them losing their housing, getting an eviction on their record, which stays on your record and can have long-lasting impacts.
Oh, I would think it would be that would be right away a huge
red flag. We talk about, I think everyone struggles to find affordable housing in this region right now. And when you've got low credit or an eviction on your record or limited income, any of those things, they are significant barriers to actually finding a permanent and stable residence. And so we are doing everything we can to keep people where they're at, which also improves just the stability for both children and adults, right? Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about homelessness, and I think we tend to be very reactive when we see that somebody has lost their housing, but we'd like to move more towards a proactive approach to these things. Because honestly, even if somebody experiences an eviction or they're in a hotel or something temporary, it can still really adversely affect their outcomes, and it adversely affects children as well when there's that instability in their housing status.
Oh, certainly.
And so our prevention programs really target that specific population. The other thing I'll say is we're the only resource. So if a family's behind on rent, it's us. If somebody needs help with a security deposit that's staying in a hotel, it's us. You know, United Way shut down this year. They also assisted with rental assistance for certain populations. And so we are really the only resource and lifeline for these families who kind of fall between the cracks because the need is so overwhelming right now.
Isn't Hope House also the one? Don't you? You also handle the call line when people call. As you were just describing this, when you just said that, I just thought, wow, talk about an organization that is being stretched thin. You really are in a lot of categories.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if we talk about the helpline, I'm looking at our annual report, which is going to be releasing soon. But last year, our annual calls were 16,352. And 59% of those calls were for prevention services. It's people who are reaching out early, trying to address their situation before it does become a lot more severe. And so we are just fielding these requests nonstop. So for example, last year, prevention services served right around 240 people for the year. Right now, as of November 30th, we were already over 200 people that we've served. So basically, you know, the first quarter and a half of our services, we're already outpacing ourselves. And so that's why this campaign is so important, because we want to continue to keep up with the demand for services in the region.
So the campaign itself, is there also a financial component to where you're trying to raise some money to be able to?
Oh, there always is. Yes, we have a match for $115,000. So every gift that you put towards this campaign is actually going to be doubled.
Okay.
So our goal is we have different giving circles, but we're trying to reach that $115,000. So whatever is in your heart to give really makes a difference. It goes directly towards families and children who are experiencing any kind of housing security in the region.
Boy, we talk about practical ways. This is one, and this is one that's kind of outside of. We'll talk about people at the actual shelter.
Yeah.
But this is one where you really are helping people. You're helping them not to have to be housed.
Exactly. And it's a lot more cost effective. So we find when families cycle through and they have to come into shelter, it's challenging for us to find different permanent housing options in the region. So sometimes it can take quite a bit of time until we can place them. And so it's a lot more cost effective if we intervene early, if they're a payment or two behind on their rent. We still do case management support. We're still doing financial literacy. We're connecting them with, you know, mental health resources, budgeting, income, job training, all of those great things that we know are successful, giving people those tools to be successful long term. But we're just catching them earlier. And so it reduces the strain on emergency crisis services that right now we are seeing just such an influx of people who are reaching out. And if we don't have shelter beds, what is happening to these people? They are falling between the cracks.
Yeah.
They're trying to survive. They're rotating all of these situations. And anything that we can do to prevent that or address it right at the onset is going to make a monumental impact.
And it sounds like the people are reaching out when they are even just a payment behind of seeing that there might be a problem here and good for them.
Oh, yeah.
Of not waiting and thinking, well, this will work itself out.
Exactly. Or sometimes we've had calls of folks who, let's say, they've missed some shifts because their child was sick. They didn't get paid for work. They know that they're going to be short on their upcoming rent. And so I say that because people are really trying. Families and parents are really trying to make ends meet, and it is so hard to get ahead right now. And so they're doing all of the right things, but sometimes it can be really overwhelming. And we know that a lot of folks are one paycheck from experiencing some sort of crisis or, you know, some sort of housing instability. And so that's the intention with these programs. How do we catch them before they fall further into a crisis? And give them what they need, you know, to maintain stable housing in the region.
And if you can keep, like you say, some of these things off their record, then to have things on your record, I would think that in a lot of cases, landlords would look at that and say, yeah, we'll take you, but, you know, you're going to need a couple of payments or, you know, they'll ask for money that there's just no way a person could have.
Yeah. So about 75 to 80% of the folks staying in our shelter have an eviction on their record. So very much an eviction can lead to homelessness.
Yeah.
But once you have that eviction on your record, it is a lot more difficult to find a permanent placement. So a lot of times landlords may do what they call like a double security deposit. So we're talking it could be $4,000 just to move into a place and pay, you know, and then your first month's rent on top of that. So when you think about if you're staying in a hotel, hotels around here run for $300, $400 a week. You're paying that weekly, and then you're expecting me to have saved up $4,000 just to get into a place.
Right.
Not to mention that I got to turn on the electric. I got to do the Wi-Fi. I have to do gas. I have to figure out transportation, you know, and all of these other components. It becomes really overwhelming. And the math just is not math, right?
Right.
I mean, a lot of us don't have that kind of cash just lying around. And so that's the great thing about these programs. They're giving people, you know, a hand up. They're helping people to achieve some of those things. And usually when we intervene that early, they're able to sustain. It's just that initial kind of cost, whether it's rental arrears, whether it's a security deposit. But once we get them in there, they stabilize a lot quicker and there's a lot less of a disruption on the kids' learning or the parents' jobs or something like that.
In the new year, I promise, sometime in the new year early on, because I need to get you and Ann Klockner in, because I know you in this past year have teamed up, because Ann has been great over the years and we've done some great shows on evictions, and there really are a lot of things in the law that protect people that sometimes people don't know about. And so
absolutely.
You two together, just because you'd be a fun show.
We partner, I love Ann. I love Ann. Every time she talks, I learn something.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing about her.
Yes.
And so in another life, I think I was an attorney. So I'm always fascinated every time, you know, I get the chance to catch up with her. But we have partnered with Legal Aid. We actually launched a pilot project this year in Spotsylvania County, which has the highest eviction filings in the planning district. And so we launched the eviction prevention pilot program specifically to target these households who were right on the brink of, you know, an eviction being filed on them or it had already been filed to prevent them from losing their housing. Again, I think it's interesting for us because we really interact with families at all phases in this cycle. So we see when they call early on when they're trying to prevent a loss of housing, but we also see them on the other end when sometimes that wasn't possible, the funding wasn't there, the support wasn't there, and they end up using crisis services. And so anything that we can do to reduce that inflow into shelter is going to be our preference. And I love our shelter. I'm very biased, obviously, but we have a wonderful shelter program.
You do.
It is still our last resort, and I don't think a lot of people know that. Shelter is the last resort. When we pick up those 16,000 calls, we want to prevent you from having to come into shelter, prevent you from experiencing a total loss of housing. That is always going to be our goal. And so these services, I think a lot of people don't know, prevention is actually the bulk of our services in the region. And we make our greatest impact there in terms of numbers, right?
Yeah.
And so we want to continue that effort and momentum, especially as we head into the new year.
And I am sure that on the prevention side of things, when you do, and these are the stories we don't hear about, but that,
yeah.
that you see when you have helped someone stay where they're at has
yes.
to be just really a wonderful feeling
yeah.
to know that you have kept them, you know where they're at.
Right. I would say every social worker has, you know, that one client that changed their life. And
yeah.
mine was, we'll call her Sarah. When I first started as a prevention caseworker, Sarah was in her early 70s and she was staying in a hotel with bed bugs, roaches. She would sometimes crash on a friend's couch because she had mobility issues. She couldn't get up the stairs to a bed. And she was really jaded. She felt like at this age, this is just awful that I'm experiencing this. She was on fixed income.
Yeah. When you say that, as soon as you said 70, I thought, what?
Right.
You don't hear these. This is something you never
see. You don't always see it,
right?
But she was on fixed income. And we see a lot of aging adults that find themselves in this situation. Her husband had passed. And that just created a total loss of housing where she lost her home. She didn't have kids. She had some family support, but they weren't in the area. And so I worked with her for 2 years and we found her a place. She was adamant, I need my own apartment, because a lot of times people end up renting rooms in these situations. And so
yeah.
she was adamant, and we searched and searched, found her an apartment on the ground level. This was in 2019. She is still there.
Oh, wow.
But
doing so much better, it sounds.
She's doing so much better, yes, because she has that stability. But I don't think people realize the impact and just how tiring and exhausting it can be when you are rotating these situations, especially
at
her age. I mean, she's sleeping on her friend's couch because she couldn't get up the stairs, right? And it was just to get away from, you know, the hotel conditions for a while. And so her getting the keys and moving into that place was life-changing for her. And one of the things that, you know, I'll never forget that she told me when I first met her, she said, you know, a lot of these programs, they're about the paperwork and not the people. I've written several papers on that, right? That she had been, you know, reached out for assistance and everybody said, you're not homeless. You're not homeless. You're staying in a hotel. So really, you're not at that
yeah.
serious of a need, which is why prevention exists, because we don't, why would we want her to fall into homelessness? Why would we want her to stay in her car in a shelter?
Yeah.
We wouldn't. And so she said she felt like all of these programs were just checking boxes rather than just human to human interaction and
yeah.
listening to these stories and what do people need. And so we formed a really great relationship. She's still there. I still talk to her, right? But it can make such a big difference.
Yeah.
And our prevention programs are not just for families. They're for single adults, too. And we do see a lot of aging adults who are reaching out that are on fixed income
yeah.
that just need help in finding a place. They need help in some sense of security and stability.
Wow. See, there's so many faces of homelessness.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you talking about this today. And in the year ahead, we need to talk more about this
mm-hmm.
and get more people understanding and behind this prevention campaign. LoisAnnsHopeHouse.org, the website, to find out a lot about this and how to get involved. LoisAnnsHopeHouse.org. Also follow them on Facebook. Kate Woodward here. Quick break. More coming up. Great stuff on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Kate Woodward with Lois Ann's Hope House. LoisAnnsHopeHouse.org is the website. Facebook has all kinds of great things. I do want to talk to you for a second about, I think, one of the great stories of the year you had on Facebook about a month or so ago, a couple getting married. And it was great. How they included Hope House was just I immediately shared it on our Facebook pages because I thought this ought to give you this ought to give some people ideas of how you can help out an organization like Hope House.
This was the coolest story. We had a couple who stopped by our facility with truckloads of donations. That had just gotten married. Congratulations to you guys. But they had just gotten married, and instead of having wedding gifts, they asked everyone to bring a donation to Hope House for their ceremony, which is just so special. And I have to tell you, I got engaged this year, so pressure's on for me now, right?
Right, all of a sudden.
Because now I'm like, okay, I got to like continue this act of kindness.
It is.
But it was just the most beautiful gesture. We did not know about this prior. They just knocked at our doorstep and said, hey, we need help unloading all these donations. You know, actually, we just got married and this is what we did.
You didn't know.
I did not know. No, we didn't know. And I think those are the moments that just, they kind of restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know that this year has been challenging for so many people, and to see someone do a gesture like that is the most heartwarming thing. I can't tell you how grateful we are. You know, they had laundry soap, toilet paper, paper towels, any kind of cleaning supplies, Clorox wipes, all of those things that, you know, I come on here, what, every other month said, and I say, I need all of these things.
Yeah.
We're in desperate need. Everything you use to clean your house, we have six. And so to come up with that idea and to make that kind of gesture at a day that's so special for them, right? And such a big moment and part of their lives, and to use that as a way to give back to the community is so impressive. I mean, honestly, we're so grateful for it.
It is. And to me, it spoke to me because I looked at that and I thought, I would have thought at the time, well, this is a chance, you know, that we can, you know, kind of get some of these things and, you know,
get started.
Yeah. And, kind of stockpile some things.
Oh, I know, because it's usually what it is.
Yeah,
you know,
you get things like that, but to be thinking about this is how I could give back to Hope House, I just thought
it was
an amazing story.
It is so amazing, and to think, like you said, typically that's an opportunity for newlyweds to get all of the things that they need to get started in their home and start their lives together, and for them to use that opportunity to help families get their lives started and to rebuild their lives and all of the things that they need to move forward is just, it's so honorable, honestly.
It made me think. And again, I feel like the pressure's on now in the new year. But for me to think about maybe a Father's Day or a birthday or something where, because I don't need... To be honest, you like to get things, but to say to people, you know, if you want to give me something, you know, here's a list that Lois Ann's Hope House needs. Why don't you give me this, and either I'll take it over or you just take it over.
And, you know, we've had kids who have celebrated their birthdays, and instead of getting a gift, they asked everyone to bring something for the Hope House wish list.
I think that I've seen that.
And it's a beautiful way to give back to your community. It's a beautiful way to make a difference for other children and other families. And I think, you know, the majority of our budget is directly from the community. And the way that our community steps up for us, not just during the holidays, but all year round, really makes a significant difference on our mission and the services that we do every single day. It makes a huge impact. And we're expanding, you know, how many people we serve, how many families that we're reaching. And it's because of gestures like this that we're able to do that.
You and I did a video last Christmas that still stays with me today, of where we went into a room. The people hadn't moved in yet.
Yeah.
And you walked – we went through – you showed me everything that you do to equip a room.
Yes.
Everything.
Oh,
whether
yes.
From, you know, pillowcases to the sheets and towels and for kids. And to equip a room is expensive. And then when they leave, they take all that with them.
They take everything with them.
And that made me – to me, it was very – it pointed out – just the everyday costs, and that's not even, we're not even talking about going into a kitchen and having to do that, but just to fit a room,
just to get prepared for a family to move in. So when a family comes in, we have all new bedding, new sheets, new pillows. We have toiletries lined up. We have toys for each of the kids. So we have like their ages, their genders. Mm-hmm. We have all of that information prior to their move in. So they walk in and virtually everything that they need is there. We also have a community pantry that they use. They get their own pantry, but that is fully stocked with food, things that they might need to just get started until they get settled. And our goal with that is we want families to come in and really have all of the basics and the essentials that they need so they don't have to worry about those things. A lot of times we are meeting families at some of the lowest points of their life in the midst of crisis, and anything that we can do to ease that transition really goes a long way. But it adds up really quickly, right? Because like you said, the families take all of that stuff with them when they leave, when they move into their new home. So we are constantly having to overturn those things. And that's why we're always asking for donations for those items. Help get, you know, a family room set up for Hope House. Help a family move into their new place. Maybe just some pots and pans or something to help them get started once they get the keys.
Right.
All of those things really make a big difference, and they go a long way.
No, it is. It points out to me that so many things that we just say, oh, they'll take care of it, or somebody's taking care of it. Well, somebody is, and it's you, and that's right. why donations of paper towels or even plastic forks and knives or just paper plates, things.
Right.
There are a lot of things that we all could do when we go to the store even just buying some extra things. And just stopping by and dropping them off and saying, here, I was at the store and I thought maybe you might be able to use some of this.
Exactly. There are so many ways that you can support our mission and our cause. We've talked a lot about the prevention campaign, but we also have our Amazon wish list. If you stop by, you can also get a physical copy of our wish list items. But all of the things that we've talked about, cleaning supplies, mops. We have a huge need for mops if anyone wants to drop me off. Toilet paper, paper towels, plastic utensils, dish sets, things like that. We are in constant need of those items. And I have to tell you, I know that that's not always the most glamorous thing, right? But it really makes a big difference. I think last time I was here, I talked about a family who moved in with us. They had two young girls. And they were staying in an abandoned home with, you know, no running water. The ceiling had caved in. It was filled with mold.
Yeah.
And when the four-year-old walked into her room, the first thing she said is, I have a bed. And she was just amazed at the fact that she had her own bed and bedding. You know, we had like cute girly four-year-old bedding, and she was obsessed with it and she loved it. And so it's the small things that really do make a place feel like a home. Even though we know that shelter is temporary, a lot of times, especially for young kids, they're looking at this like, okay, this is where I come to every single day. This is my sense of stability. This is home for me. And so all of these items are things that just make that transition a bit more comfortable and welcoming for families so that they don't have to worry about some of those essential basic things that they need every single day. But they can focus on the, you know, long-term goal, which is housing.
Yeah. No, it every time you come in, Kate, it makes me realize just how selfish sometimes I am as far as looking at things that I want, that I think I need. Mm-hmm. And there are really such easy ways to give back to the community.
Well, I don't even think it's selfishness. I think, you know, it's hard for me when I come and I talk about homelessness. It's such a big issue. I'm telling you, 16,000 calls, and, you know, we have 1,000 students in the region that, you know, don't have a stable place, that fall into those prevention scenarios. And it feels very overwhelming, and it feels like it's very hard to make a difference sometimes. And I am telling you, every bit, every gesture goes a long way for us and is appreciated. There is no dollar amount that's too small. There is no item that is too small. One roll of toilet paper is one roll of toilet paper we are always going to need, right? And so I think these are really manageable ways if you're doing holiday shopping or, you know, if you're at the store, picking up just one extra thing and dropping it off at Hope House. And that really means so much to us. It really just makes a big difference in our everyday work, our operations. We do not get grant funding for these things. So if we don't have toilet paper, we're running to the store and that just comes out of our operations expenses, right, that we're buying toilet paper. And the cost of a lot of these things has gone up as well. So any kind of contribution really can make a big difference for us.
Yeah. No. So think of those. Think of those things. Like you say, because of the toilet paper, then you are able to get a mop.
Right.
Or maybe
exactly.
Maybe you have like Mop March, of where people in March.
Mop March, I like it. I'll be on for a Mop March.
can donate mops. But it is, it's those kinds of things. And that's why going and looking at that wish list, and I think you would, if you look at that list, you see all those things and think, I see all that all the time. I could help Hope House in pick a month.
Oh, yeah, we get all sorts of, calls and, I had some extra from this. Can you guys use it? We even had somebody, they threw a birthday party and they had all of these, decorating kits that were extra from their order. They said, hey, could you guys use these for the kids? Yeah, bring them by, so always reach out. If you think of something that you think would benefit our children, our families, even if it's fun activities. I will also say this time of year is really fun for us at Hope House. So if you want to sponsor any kind of holiday event, whether it's like supplying hot cocoa so that we can do like hot cocoa in a movie for the kids or like cookie decorating, things like that, it really makes a big difference. We try to make this time of year have a sense of normalcy. So engaging in all of those fun kind of holiday traditional activities really makes a big difference. So if you're interested in volunteering or sponsoring one of these events, maybe as a group, maybe as a family, as a church, we would love that. Please give us a call.
That would be if you think of a church youth group, or you just even think of just a very various groups within a church, could just say, we're going to go over to Hope House and
decorate cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there are lots of different ways to get involved, especially during this time of year. But don't worry, you can call us any month of the year and we will have tons of different things that we're always in need of assistance with, whether it's, group volunteer projects, workshops with the kids, or anything like that. We always have different opportunities to participate in our mission.
Or, and I'm sure you appreciate sometimes when people come and they have an idea for something, and it's something you haven't thought of that you don't.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as though you have all the answers, that if somebody comes and says, have you ever thought we'd like to do this? And I'm sure there are times you're just like, please do
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Yes. We run on volunteers, right? And so, there are all sorts of different ways. If you have some sort of idea of how to give back, how to support something you think would be fun for the kids, for the families, please reach out. We are always open to having those conversations to, make our services better and provide different kind of opportunities for the folks that are staying with us. But even like we had a church who was like, when's the last time you took the kids to Funland? And we were like,
wow,
it's been a while. And so we did a Funland trip maybe a month or two ago. Funland still hits. The kids still love it. It's always going to be a hit, right? And I've already had like three or four ask me like, when are we going to Funland next, right? So even if you want to sponsor something like that, just things that are fun and engaging for the kids, especially the children, it is a difficult transition. And we have children of all ages. So anywhere from newborns to 17-year-olds to 18-year-olds still in school. So there are all sorts of different activities. We've had photographers come and donate their time to do family portraits or graduation shots, photos of the teens. We did like they got their hair and makeup done one day and then we did photo shoots downtown. There are all sorts of skill sets and things that can really make a big difference and create memories for our kids and families.
Yeah, think outside the box. It doesn't always have to be, well, I give, it's great. There's like you said, there's nothing too small. But you can think outside the box sometimes and do fun things.
Let's do fun things. Yeah.
Right.
I think, you know, a big piece of what we do is also trying to bring joy to the kids, because we know that it's difficult. We know that there's a lot of upset. There's a lot of transition. And so we do a lot with, you know, educational workshops, with budgeting, with employment, with, you know, let's get you enrolled in classes. Let's look at careers, housing. All of those things are integral. Yes.
Yeah.
But we also want, you know, the kids to be able to enjoy themselves, to be able to make memories, to have friends, to participate in things that they don't always get to participate in just because of their housing status. And so any ideas of how we can, you know, expand those services, or if you want to sponsor some kind of event or volunteer, we would absolutely love that.
LoisHainsHopeHouse.org, again, the website to get information and to see how you can get in touch with somebody, or if you just put Hope House in, you're going to find Lois Ann's Hope House in Fredericksburg. Kate Woodward here. Quick break. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kate Woodward here this morning with Lois Ann's Hope House, loisannshopehouse.org. For people who don't know, Kate, or don't realize real quick, the Hope House, it's six houses now, isn't it? Because you keep adding. Every time I think I've got it down, you pick up a house or you renovate something.
Isn't that crazy? I know. We have six homes on our campus now. We get lots of steps in, and we can have up to 19 families that stay with us. We have 60 beds. So we talked a lot about what it takes to put a room together. So just imagine that's 60 beds and our capacity for shelter services. We have just over 36 kids. We just had a new family move in, so I'm not entirely sure. But just over 36 kids that are staying with us at our shelter program. So it's real busy at Hope House. It's real loud.
Yeah.
We love it. We see a lot of milestones. We've had, you know, a high school graduation and a baby shower in the same, you know, year.
Yeah.
So we get to see a lot of really fun moments.
End of the year, and when a lot of times people will do end of the year giving. They realize they haven't done enough, or they want to do something at the end of the year. Keep Lois Ann's Hope House in mind, just because, as you have discovered, there's lots of ways, and there are lots of homeless situations. You're dealing with a lot of families, and you're dealing with a lot of people that we sometimes even don't even realize. Just like you talked about the person, the 70-year-old friend of yours that is, you know, needed help.
Yeah, and we talk about it kind of as the invisible crisis. You don't always see families. You may not see the folks that are rotating between, you know, couch surfing. Maybe they're staying at a hotel for a week. Maybe they're in the car for a couple of nights. Then they get a paycheck. You don't always see the population that we're working with. But I'm here to tell you that they very much exist. Often they are very hesitant to reach out for services or engage in services because they're worried there's going to be some sort of repercussions for their housing status. But I will say nationally, homelessness among youth increased 33% in the last year, and that's the largest of any age group. And so we are seeing that trend locally. We are seeing how many folks are reaching out for services. On average, we have about 65 families a night who are seeking shelter services. I just told you we have 19 family, you know, rooms, units. So we have 65 families that are seeking shelter. Again, that's why we do prevention, right?
That's why
we try to intervene early, because we know that there is a bottleneck sometimes in accessing services. But some of the other things that, you know, folks may not know is every year the schools do a count of how many students fall into these situations. So they're in hotels, they're couch surfing. I've talked a lot on here about, you know, the overall count for last school year with all of the local public schools. So that's Caroline, Stafford, King George, Spotsylvania, and the city of Fredericksburg. They had 1,200 students who were getting picked up from school and didn't have, like, a stable place to call home. They didn't know necessarily where they were going. But another thing that I want to share with that number is there were 91 unaccompanied youth. And so that is youth that are not in physical custody of a parent or guardian. So that's going to be your kids who are couch surfing. They're maybe staying with a friend. They're staying with a relative. This population continues to grow in our region. We have had some of the schools reach out and say, I have an 18-year-old who is sleeping in their car and needs a place to go. Can they stay with you guys? And for us, we're a family shelter, but when we get these calls, these are kids.
Right.
And so we do, you know, have them come in, but we're seeing an increase in this population.
We're out of time. We will talk much more about this. And Kate Woodward, thank you so much. And again, LoisAnnsHopeHouse.org. Anything you can do over the holidays will help.
Yes. Visit us on Facebook or at our website.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Greenline Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.